Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
That felt good. It felt good. It feels good.
It looked like you were going in for one, so I had to make sure I protect myself you went in.
So you guys don't get to see this because it's radio, and welcome into WFNZ Afternoons. Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet with you. You guys don't get to see, but Stan made sure to take the headphone apparatus and just remove it a little bit from his ears, and I was just going to give you good afternoon, mm-hmm. and I saw that, and I was like, well, I better earn that. Right, I have to earn it.
So it's different, right? People think, you know, these guys just sit down. You get that look in your eye. When mm-hmm. you got something on your mind to start the show, you want to make sure we give the people good energy, especially since we're being hosted out here at Quail Hollow Club, courtesy of the Wells Fargo Championship. We got to make sure that you got to pay it off. The people expect things from us, Nick.
And I am here to lower or higher expectations, depending on the expectations of me, because I just like to be a contrarian. It is a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday here in Charlotte. We are out here in the middle of Charlotte at the beautiful Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow. And I wanted to start the show with an observation, because we're going to get into some serious, hardcore sports talk minutia.
Talk sports, guy.
In a few moments here. But I, you know, as we were approaching the event today, as I was just kind of scanning the, just the pageantry and the people.
Perusing the climate.
Yes. I had an observation.
Mm-hmm.
If you are even a reasonably attractive man and your girlfriend, it is clear that you've outkicked the coverage. What are you doing bringing her to this tournament? I mean, what are you doing?
Maybe he's secure.
Yeah, okay, that's great. You can be secure all you want. All I'm going to tell you is there's a lot of Miami 10s walking around here bro-wise, and they are better looking. They're more rich. They're more skilled. All I'm going to say is you might have just brought your girlfriend here so she can find her next boyfriend. I'm just saying that's the mentality you have to have if you're going to be a very attractive young lady.
So what are you saying? Don't let your girl veer too far to the merchandise tent. It could go down.
Yeah. I'm going to say is if somebody starts a leering, it's time to leave.
A super OG said to me one time, Fleet, if she leaves, she's not yours, bro. They for everybody. If she's for you, she comes back to the house, everything is cool. But you can't let them see you flinch under this type of pressure.
All right. All I'm going to tell you is nobody leaves you for $1 million golfer who's better looking than you and comes back.
Well, see, the golfers, they kind of have their group, right? They don't really – that's a lie.
It's not like a herd.
Golfers kick it.
There's not like a fence that they have to stay inside. They have free range. They're free range golfers,
sure,
is what I'm saying.
But they're concentrating on their craft, as you and I are. Like, we don't even – like, see that? We don't even see anything. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see that.
Yeah.
We're focused and we're locked in on what's going on so we can entertain our listeners.
I see absolutely everything. And I did see last night.
How you just gonna tell Nessa you're out here people watching?
Listen, I'm just doing my job. I'm supposed to describe the scenery here. You don't go to the Grand Canyon and be like, I saw a sky. Like, no, you got to talk about some rocks, okay? I don't know. Guys, I might be one of the single people out here when I come back tomorrow.
Listen, man. It is a beautiful scene, though. The weather's fantastic. It feels good to have spring. Some people got their summer garb on.
It's a return to – okay. It is a somewhat return to normalcy as we get to be out
no doubt.
And near each other.
Yep.
I've been to a couple of Hornets games. Mm-hmm. But, again, it's – I mean – and, by the way, they're doing a fantastic job socially distancing, so I don't want to make it seem like that's not the case. But
right.
This is outdoor versus indoor at the Hornets game.
Sure.
you know, there's kind of a vibe in the air. People are excited to be out. So we've got a lot to talk about today as we get you ready for the Wells Fargo Championship here from Quail Hollow all week. We're going to be here the rest of the week. And again, we will have our scouting reports out for any talent that is on hand. But as we start the show,
Fitter will be proud of us, work we're going to do.
Yeah, listen, you got to watch the tape. All right, I've been saying it for a while now. I think they took that from me, but as we start the show, I watched the tape last night of the Charlotte Hornets. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how it looked. Want to talk about the way that things change very quickly in the NBA with this ridiculous, savage schedule that is being put upon these NBA players? And finally, I'm mad about it. I'm finally mad about it after yet again the Hornets had to go to battle with not just without, you know, one of their best players, but multiple of their best players. Devontae Graham out last night. Miles Bridges, PJ Washington. They were out last night. So where 2 games ago they came out against Detroit and they looked like a crocodile going after like an antelope. Like they were so lethargic. They're like, I'm going to get this antelope anyways. Yeah. I don't even know if crocodiles eat antelopes. I don't care. The point
remains.
The point remains that they looked lethargic 2 days ago.
They did.
You could not say, or 2 games ago, you could not say that against the same Detroit team last night. I don't care how it looked. They survived being without Miles and PJ and Devontae last night. I commend them for the effort that they put out on the court, because there were moments where it just felt like Hamidou Diallo was on one.
He had a career night.
It just felt like the Hornets were shooting awfully. I think they ended up making 8 3-pointers.
Yeah, like 8 of 35. What was it? 8 of 31.
Okay, which isn't good for all those people at home who don't have math right off the top of their head.
It's under 26%.
And this is a team that's used to making at least 14 3-pointers a game. That's the average.
Yeah, but even me and KB talked about it on the post-game show last night. Even from the field, they shot just under 41%. You got to go back to April the 14th, I believe, since they've shot that low of a percentage. It was ugly. This was a tough game to watch, especially in the first half. But in the second half, and specifically in the fourth quarter, it's Terry Rozier, and it's that guy, LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, we're to the point where when you're in January or when you're in December or February talking about NBA basketball, it's really difficult to make specific observations because things change over the course of 82 games, or in this case, 72 games.
Mm-hmm.
But we're at the point of the season where it's observation time. It's you can make your statements about what we've seen from this team.
Sure.
And, man, I just got to tell you, kudos to Melo for putting in the work. Kudos to Melo. This team doesn't have Gordon Hayward, who should be the guy leading them at this point of the year, if healthy.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Because that's the guy you're paying $120 million to. That's the guy that is the veteran who's been here before, not just in Boston, but his time in Utah as well.
Sure.
So, and listen, we can also say that Terry, who's kept this team afloat
for
as long as he is, he's been putting in the work. But LaMelo last night played the role that he's going to have to play for his entire time here in Charlotte. If we're going to get somewhere over the course of the next few seasons, he went out there, he got you the W. And, I mean, look no further than with, what, about 5 minutes left in the game. JB tried to get LaMelo one real quick blow. Mm-hmm. 2 possessions, 2 scores almost immediately by Detroit. LaMelo's back in the game at the end of the game. That's how much value he brought to that team offensively.
In sports, we use that cliche. We've all heard it. The player just has it. LaMelo has it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, we've tried and we do what we can in being descriptive as broadcast professionals to try and give the fan base what we see every night that LaMelo's on the floor. This team responds, regardless of the lineup, this team responds differently when LaMelo was on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to rebound, to start the break, the pace of play, LaMelo has a green light to do the way he facilitates. So as we go down, you know, the remaining, what is it now, 7 games in this stretch, I'm not going to be looking at Terry Rozier as much. Terry, you've done the heavy lifting, bro. You have carried us and allowed this team to hover around 500 in LaMelo's absence, in Gordon's absence. LaMelo, to some degree, Malik Monk, PJ will be back. We know he's not dealing with necessarily an injury. He had a personal day off. I expect him to be back Thursday. I have not seen anything to conflict with that thus far. LaMelo Ball, I'm not saying you got to lead us necessarily into a playoff victory, but these next seven games, I need you to play like you played last night.
Well, and what last night proved is I think LaMelo Ball is back. The first two games, you saw the want. You saw, you know, I'm not saying he didn't play hard because he absolutely did, but he was still working through some of the rust.
Which can be expected.
And by the way, there was some of that last night. It wasn't as if it was a flawless night from him.
Sure.
But last night was a step in the direction. And if they're going to not just preserve the eighth spot, which now, because of this win and Indiana's loss to Washington, they now have a 1.5 game up on they're 1.5 games up on Indy. And also, by the way, Miami lost last night. Mm-hmm. So suddenly the world looks a little bit rosier this morning from that point, although again it still feels like a far-fetched thing that they could actually catch Miami or Boston, slide to seven, and certainly the sixth seed, which is
what, 2.5 games?
2.5 games out, which would be Miami, by the way, feels a little far-fetched. But again,
don't forget the tiebreakers in there. We have the Miami one. I'm going off the top of my head. Indiana, I believe we do. And who's the other one? I believe we have the one against Washington as well. So this could end up being quite favorable given the work, the hay that's already in the barn.
But I agree with you. Because last night was a step in the right direction.
Sure.
I don't care who they played at. For LaMelo, it was a step in the right direction. If two things. If he wants to win Rookie of the Year, the next seven games, he's got to do what he did last night and better. Mm-hmm. If he wants to be the seventh or sixth seed, he needs to do what he did last night. And it might, listen, it's probably not fair to ask a 19-year-old rookie coming off a wrist injury that. This ain't about fair. It's about, are you going to be the guy that leads this team where we want to go this year? Because ain't nobody else going to be able to do that right now.
Let me ask you a question. Would you rather be in the 7-8 or would you rather be in the 9-10?
Oh, 7-8, absolutely.
7-8, you're looking at Boston. Who else is right there? Atlanta could fall.
Miami.
Miami is right there.
I don't know
that it's not.
Well, but the difference is I'd rather face a potential one-off that if you lose.
If you lose, you had a second game.
Versus,
well, yeah,
you're probably going to have to face one of those teams regardless if you get into the 9-10 team.
My thought is, would you rather have the tune-up in the 9-10? Win that one, different matchup, and then you're better equipped in principle, more opportunity for Gordon Hayward to get in rhythm,
no,
all of these guys, or you just want to come straight out the box in one game, winner take all against Miami?
Yeah.
I'm the other way.
No, I
take the 9-10.
I don't want any more games.
Specifically because of Miami.
I don't want any more games than I have to.
Matchups. You know the postseason basketball.
I get
matchups.
It. That's smart. Yes. Sure. Uh-huh. And all I've seen is every time you're like, oh, it's such a beautiful day here in Charlotte. Nothing could go wrong. What? Whom sprained what? Like, no.
It's crazy.
No more games. I cannot do it. I want as minimal games as possible until you get into a seven-game series, and then I want as many games as possible for this young team. Want to hear from you guys today. LaMelo Ball with a 23-point night last night against Detroit as the Charlotte Hornets survived against Detroit. Are you counting LaMelo as all the way back? Zach Gelb had Matt Rhule on his show last night. He's going to be joining us coming up in 30 minutes.
Zach Gelb, that is.
What did I say?
I don't want people to think Matt Rhule is joining us again. Matt Rhule was on with KB.
If more people tune in, I don't give a bleep, all right? I said what I said. We've also got Davion Nixon, the Panthers fifth-round pick.
Big fella.
Tackle.
Big fella, yeah.
Listen, if he's not Big Snack, I got to find out what his nickname is at four. Gary Soba of the Wells Fargo Tournament. He'll also be joining us later in the show. But as we get started, is LaMelo Ball all the way back? Carolina's controversy competition. Let me strike that again. Carolina's competition conundrum next on Sports Radio FNZ.
I like that.
Sports Radio FNZ, live from the Wells Fargo Championship, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. We also have Billy DeMarlin out here, and if you guys haven't seen his glorious mullet at Nick Wilson says on the Diamonds Direct Twitter feed. I didn't know Billy DeMarlin was hiding this from us, but now that I've seen it, I cannot unsee it, Stan.
I said this to you before. I think if I was a white dude, I'd rock the mullet, bro.
Could you grow a mullet?
Yeah, see, we call it different. Dudes from Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, they have this thing called a booty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shag in the back. Mm-hmm. So low and everywhere else except in the back.
Oh, see, I was just asking because you shave your head.
Oh, you were saying, like, could I physically?
Yeah.
Yes, I have, well, used to have hair.
Okay.
Before I just, you know. The line and it just, yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't happening anymore.
That's all right. I'm about 5 days away from joining you there, except I don't have the beautiful dome you have to pull off the bald look. And I'm a little jealous. Zach Gelb joins us coming up in about 20 minutes. He interviewed Matt Rhule after KB did last night. You guys heard it here on WFNZ. But I thought it was interesting. We commended yesterday on the show Matt Rhule finally getting the quarterback message as best you could. There's no one thing that's going to sell if you didn't like Sam Darnold before hearing him speak.
Yeah.
There's no one thing that's going to make me or anybody else be like, oh, well, maybe he's not a slappy now.
Until he starts playing games.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So with that in mind, there was something in terms of explaining the mentality mm-hmm. that you could have, that you could give to people that would at least make sense. And he did it with Zach as well. And it was basically, we would rather have Sam Darnold and J.C. Horn than just that quarterback, mm-hmm. right? Just taking Justin Fields at 8.
Or Mac Jones, either one.
Or Justin Fields. But as we have that conversation,
I'm just acknowledging the player was there. Yeah.
Mac Jones was alive and on the board at 8. No one had taken him. But as we have this conversation, Zach also did a really good job about asking him about the hypothetical of if a veteran quarterback becomes available this year, what that would mean for the Panthers.
Probably out of the market of trading for another quarterback, or is it definitely Sam your guy for 2021?
First of all, you know me well enough to know I'm not going to answer hypotheticals. And
I got to try.
And second of all, you know, we feel, like I said, we feel really, really good about Sam. And we're, let me say this, we feel really good about P.J. Walker and we feel really good about Will Greer. I mean, we think we have three young quarterbacks. You know, Will was drafted in the third round. He played a little bit 2 years ago and is waiting for his chance. P.J. went out there last year in his only start and won the game for us 20-0 against the Lions. So we feel healthy. We feel like we have a really healthy room, and we should have great competition. But excited about Sam and ready to go.
I gotta love that Coach started this with saying, "You should know me well enough that you know I'm not going to answer any hypotheticals." Coach, sometimes you just flat don't answer questions.
Right.
So I thought that was funny. I'm not taking shots. I'm just pointing out.
That's fair.
All right, but I want to get into this because when he talked about J.C. Horn. About whether J.C. Horn could start.
Mm-hmm.
With KB yesterday, he also said that we believe in competition.
At every position.
And so we're not just going to put the rookie over that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you buying Sam Darnold, P.J. Walker, Will Greer, and maybe Preston Ramsey, should he sign, because that's been a big thing that has been out there, that he could be the Panthers' fourth quarterback, the kid out of Northwestern. Are you buying that as a quarterback competition?
No. The moment they passed on Justin Fields, when they traded Teddy, combined right behind that a day, not even a day later, and you pass on Justin Fields and or Mac Jones, and then in any of the mid or later rounds, you don't even draft another quarterback. They picked a long snapper before they brought in a quarterback just as a developmental prospect. That told me everything I need to know. It confirmed what I thought all along. They are 100% Matt Rhule and Joe Brady and Scott Fitter. They're all in with Sam Darnold.
So I've gotten to the point where I'm not – listen, you want to be Sam Darnold bust, that's fine. It really is. It would not have been what I would do, or anything close to it, but I can respect Matt Rhule's football acumen enough to say, all right, Teddy didn't work out. It was Teddy or bust. Mm-hmm. You're going to do the same thing with Sam. I'm voicing what I think that could lead to, but you've got 17 games to make me look like an idiot, and that could very well happen. It's happened before. It will happen again. I don't like pitting it as something it's not, though. Because when I hear that J.C. Horn is going to be in a positional battle with A.J. Bouye, that makes sense. A.J. Bouye is the presumptive starter as of right now because he's the veteran and he's earned that.
Yes.
And J.C. Horn's the eighth pick in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. When we talk about Morgan Fox challenging Daquan Jones, makes sense.
I don't think that's a competition.
Well, no. But Morgan Fox has done more in his opportunities in L.A. than P.J. Walker has in one opportunity in the NFL.
I agree with that.
So I would like the Panthers to just call it what it is. The real competition for the quarterback spot on this roster is P.J. Walker
and Will Greer
and
Tommy Stevens.
Tommy
Stevens is the fourth quarterback now.
I've heard he's the next Taysom Hill.
Tommy Stevens is listed as a quarterback.
No, I will not accept this. We're going back. I'm going to dig my line and say he's the next Taysom Hill. That's what I've heard. But so in terms of I wonder whether they've considered the downside of going Sam Darnold a bust. Because I actually think something that you said was proven true with the way that they've talked about Sam Darnold. The way they've talked about Sam Darnold is, we just want him to come in one day at a time. He doesn't have to do everything. Mm. That tells me that your theory, which was, well, they don't want to, what was the word, ruin him or mentally bind him up.
They want to minimize the distractions for Sam.
Yes. That tells me they actually think that, which is concerning to me. If you think a guy is weak enough that competition is going to be a problem for him, that does scare me a little bit. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but that does scare me a bit.
I understand what you're saying. I would challenge all of us as NFL fans to just think around the league. How many starting quarterbacks, and I ain't talking about Mahomes and the just super elite guys, how many dudes truly have somebody behind them that is a legitimate, viable option that could lead a team 13, 14, now 17, well, technically 18 weeks, 17 games? Those guys are few and far in between.
Fair. How many of those guys are third-year or fourth-year players who are coming off a failed stint in their first go around?
I had something and you made me forget about it.
Like, for instance, the big comparison, which I still hate because he was a better quarterback in Miami than Sam Darnold was in New York, but the big comparison is Ryan Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, except Ryan Tannehill went in and competed with Marcus Mariota.
He did.
For whatever reason, John Robinson forced Mariota to play, and then when they switched it up, Ryan Tannehill took over the team. But at least you had Mariota and Tannehill. It may sound stupid because, again, I'm resigned.
No, it's a real conversation. What if Sam can't play? What if, unfortunately, Sam goes down?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to be competitive in your QB2 scenario?
Well, and
that's a real conversation.
I know it sounds – so to some people, it's just going to sound like more doubting of Sam. It's not. It's that I think every quarterback who you still have at least a healthy doubt about, going into year four, this is what we talked about with Josh Allen last year.
Mm-hmm.
Going to last year, I wanted Cam Newton to go to Buffalo to back up Josh Allen because I thought that was a perfect situation. If Josh Allen had faltered, if he had pulled a Trubisky, as it should be known, Cam Newton would have been in the perfect situation in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So that's how I felt about Josh Allen going to year three. My only thing is, listen, it doesn't need to be Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, but a guy like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan obviously is in Washington and he's going to start, but what I feel more, he retired. What I feel more comfortable with P.J. Walker is the backup quarterback to Sam Darnold or Alex Smith.
Oh, of course, you'd rather have Alex Smith.
That's the mentality.
But let me ask you this, and I'm trying to pull up what we saw P.J. do. Let's go back to that Detroit game. And I know there were, three interceptions? I believe there were three interceptions, mm-hmm. And I'm trying to pull it up here real time. Did you see enough from P.J. Walker in that one game, the only time we've really seen P.J. for a sustainable amount of time? Did you see enough to make you comfortable that he can be QB2?
No.
Because we know that P.J. Walker and Will Greer had a competition. And they chose, when Teddy couldn't play that week, they chose to go with rules guy from Temple, P.J.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it is a legitimate question to ask, hey, what if Sam is what we saw in New York, even in this new environment here in Charlotte?
Well, and
it's a really fair question to ask. What's the plan here?
So I also think, and again, this is not to say they're making an abject failure and bleep this organization. I'm not firing Brimstone the way that I was a week ago. I'm not firing Brimstone the way I have been when we've talked about this. I have absolutely accepted Sam Darnold, barring a major catastrophe, will be the starting quarterback. But I also look at this and say, you know, I like what Matt Rhule preaches. I like Matt Rhule. I know maybe that doesn't come across because I don't kiss his butt like it feels like a fair amount of people do.
I don't hear you say like you got an issue specifically.
But like, I think Matt Rhule's a good family dude. Every time I see videos of him and his kids and his wife, like I gotta tell you guys, I'm rooting for Matt Rhule. But I don't know how in a locker room where you're going to J.C. Horn and saying, you better be not just as good as A.J. Bouye, you better be better than A.J. Bouye to get that starting spot. And you're going to go to Yetur Gross-Matos and say the same thing about Hassan Reddick. You're going to go
Terrence Marshall Jr.
Heck, you're going to go and say the same thing to Brady Christensen if he's going to get in front of that scrub, Cam Irving. So if you're going to do that for every spot in the locker room, and we mean it because there is depth there, it's wild to me that we're not doing that with the quarterback position.
It doesn't bother me as much because that's the idea that I had that I lost a few moments ago. You know how they're treating Sam Darnold? And by the way, my apologies, P.J. Walker. It was just two picks. One touchdown, two picks.
It felt like three.
It felt like three. I think there was a missed touchdown a couple times. A couple guys were wide open in the zone. He missed.
Ron Rivera would call that a missed opportunity.
It was definitely a missed opportunity. What up, Coach Ron? My coach is out here today, by the way.
I'm going to hug him.
They're treating Sam like a rookie. They're treating him, the mentality, the way they're handling him, the evaluation of him. This is Sam. They're looking at Sam as coming out of USC, not coming from the Jets.
Can I ask you, does that help Sam in the locker room?
I think Sam has been helped in the locker room by the lack of them putting somebody else in the room with him. In other words, it's when they show up for camp, everybody in the building knows that's QB1.
Okay, but let's say everybody gets out there in the practice field.
And he can't play?
And he can't play.
Then people are going to look at Matt Rhule and go, what's the plan?
And I think that's it. I look at this roster. Guys, I think they have almost planned for every event. They have planned for if Brady Christensen,
yes.
Whatever his friggin' name is. They've planned if he can't play because you do have Cam Irving there. And Trent Scott.
Mm-hmm.
They have planned for if a lot of these dudes can't play.
If Pat Elflein can't play, Deontay Brown can play both guards.
Except Sam Darnold. And I think the difference is, last year, if Teddy Bridgewater couldn't play, and when I say couldn't play, I mean couldn't play a bit or got hurt, you had a team that was going to take you to Trevor Lawrence. This year, I'm not saying they're too big to fail. I'm saying they're too big to get. They're too talented to get the number one pick, and we know they're not going to tank either. 704-570-9610. Hit us up on the text line, and we're seeing a lot of your responses coming in there, by the way, or on the Diamonds Direct Twitter feed. Is it smart that Carolina hasn't brought in a quarterback to truly compete?
A quality backup
with Sam Darnold. We'll ask that question with Zach Gelb of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio Network next.
Fully out of the market of trading for another quarterback, or is it definitely Sam your guy for 2021?
First of all, you know me well enough to know I'm not going to answer hypothetical.
And I got to try.
And second of all, you know, we feel, like I said, we feel really, really good about Sam. And we're, let me say this. We feel really good about P.J. Walker. And we feel really good about Will Greer. I mean, we think we have three young quarterbacks. You know, Will was drafted in the third round. He played a little bit 2 years ago and is waiting for his chance. P.J. went out there last year in his only start and won the game for us 20-0 against the Lions. So, we feel healthy. We feel like we have a really healthy room, and we should have great competition. But excited about Sam and ready to go.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, live from the Wells Fargo Championship here out at Quail Hollow in the beautiful, thriving metropolis that is Charlotte, North Carolina, guys. Hope everybody's having a great day.
Yeah, happy Cinco de Mayo. Haven't said that.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. I was hoping for a...
Responsibly, of course.
A margarita machine here. I felt like that's something you would have at the Wells Fargo Championship on Cinco de Mayo.
I'm sure the players have something going on in their space.
Well, bring that bleep over here.
Even though we are players, as OGs that we are.
A super OG over here, thank you.
I imagine that we would have to make our way there, and I don't know that we're credentialed in that capacity.
Listen, let me speak directly to PGA golfers right now. You guys already have money. Yeah. You're already much in better shape than I am, and you also have the pick of any woman that you possibly could want. As I stated earlier today, y'all are a bunch of Mr. Steal Your Girls, okay? The least you could do is bring your margarita machine here, set it up in front of Big Daddy, and allow him to chill with a margarita on Cinco de Mayo. But that is neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to fill in what we just had. That was Matt Rhule on the Zach Gelb Show yesterday, saying essentially they're in on Sam Darnold and this quarterback room as currently constructed. We're going to go ahead and welcome on right now the host of the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio Network, which you guys can hear nightly here on WFNZ right after this show goes off the air. And you can also follow him at Zach Gelb. He is Zach Gelb on the Technicom Hotline. Zach, what's up?
Guys, I'm doing great, but I'm actually very jealous because not only you're on a golf course, but I hear GQ is going to be coming after both of you because I did see the photo that you guys posted on Instagram. If I'm your program director, I'm very afraid of losing you guys to GQ because you both looked excellent.
There have been overtures, but I am a man of integrity. Hmm. And no, that bleep that. Pay me. If I'm just for all the people at GQ or out there, I can be bought. I've said that many, many times.
OG Metroliner Edition GQ. Me and you on the cover.
I would need a super in front of my OG because I am super OG. But you're right. You're right. Super OG and all those other words you said. So we just played the sound of what Matt Rhule had to say when you asked him about whether or not they would consider a veteran quarterback should one of these guys rustle up and become available. What was your thought about the conviction of Matt Rhule on Sam Darnold and the other quarterbacks in this quarterback room right now?
Well, it's clear that he likes Sam Darnold a lot, and you look at it, I think that was the big reason why they did not take Justin Fields or Mac Jones at 8 on Thursday night. But there's one thing to say what he said with me yesterday, and there's another thing to actually put that action into effect. Because if Aaron Rodgers becomes available, if Deshaun Watson's legal situation gets cleared up, and the Panthers, even though it may be a long shot, could either trade for one of those quarterbacks, I don't get how you justify keeping and going with Sam Darnold compared to giving up the resources for an Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. So I get it when I ask the question. Like, I had Ron Rivera on the night before, too, and I asked him directly about Rodgers, and he goes, well, you know, I can't respond to that because that would be tampering. So I kind of just worded it differently, keeping the two quarterbacks vague. But the two quarterbacks I had in mind was Watson and Rodgers, and I guess maybe even Wilson, but I think Russell Wilson will be there come week one for Seattle this year.
All right, so with that being said, is it smart to be Sam Darnold or bust in year two?
Well, can you get Aaron Rodgers? If you get Aaron Rodgers, then no, it's not smart to be Sam Darnold or bust. But if, for example, you can't get Rodgers, you can't get Watson, I'm okay with them rolling with Sam Darnold instead of taking Justin Fields because they already gave up the three draft picks to do so. I was thinking they could have taken Justin Fields during the draft. I thought that was a possibility to take Fields or trade back. But once they gave up the three draft picks for Sam Darnold, that probably did rule them out of taking a quarterback, even though there was some talk about it leading up to the draft.
Zach, I think about it, and Nick really has done a good job of putting this in the back of my head. In the event that...
I agree.
Even the event that... So modest. If Sam can't play, and the Panthers, like, what's the backup option here, right? P.J. Walker or Will Grier? I think they're looking at Sam Darnold as if he's coming out of USC and not that he's coming from the Jets. So they wanted to give him – now, they're going to say there's competition in the room, but I don't think the three of us believe that. My question to you, isn't that just par for the course in the league? I mean, when we look around the league, how many teams truly have a dude at QB2 that can take you, you know, 10, 12, 14 games if need be?
Not many. And even the Eagles, because that's like the most recent example of a team that had a backup quarterback win a Super Bowl. I was doing local radio in Philadelphia, and it was after the Raiders game, I think, leading into the final game of the season where they played the Cowboys, and I had to cut people off. I refused to take any more phone calls because people didn't want Nick Foles to play, and they wanted Nate Sudfeld, and then a few weeks later, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. So not even Eagles fans were thinking they could win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Let's be real. This is going to be Sam Darnold's team this year, unless if they could go out and trade for an Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. And if Darnold does not play well this year, I know they have the fifth-year option that's picked up. Then you get back into this QB carousel once again, because even if a Rodgers or a Watson doesn't get traded this year, I don't think Deshaun Watson wants to play for the Texans again, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to play for the Packers again. So let's just say they do stay put with both their current teams, the Texans and the Packers, and we could be having the same conversation again next year. And unless if Sam, even if Sam plays great this year, and I know that he's just about to turn 24, it's still tough and to me impossible to turn away from our already great known commodity in a Watson and a Rodgers if you can get them either this year or next year.
Zach Gelb of the Zach Gelb Show, heard nightly here on Sports Radio FNZ. Again, joining us on the Technicom hotline, as he had Matt Rhule on his show, Panthers head coach, yesterday on last night's program. So as we look and kind of widen our gaze here, Zach, I'm curious, who do you think, coming off this offseason, coming off the draft and obviously free agency, who are the most improved teams in the NFL?
Most improved teams in the NFL. I love what the Chargers actually did in the draft, getting Rashawn Slater. Now, they already had the foundation there with Keenan Allen and also with Justin Herbert, the quarterback. But I look at a team like the Chargers. I expect them to make the playoffs this year as a wild card team. I look at the Patriots and all the talent that they brought in. They were 7-9 with a bottom five roster last year. I like what the Patriots did in the draft, and more importantly, I like what the Patriots did in free agency. So those are two teams that I don't think either will win a Super Bowl, but I do think the Patriots are a wild card team this year, and I think the Chargers are a wild card team in the AFC. In the NFC, I think the Rams did make an improvement with Matthew Stafford, but still with making an improvement, I'm still skeptical that they could win a Super Bowl. My top four teams right now in the NFL, I'll give it to you in order. Buccaneers 1. I'll go Chiefs 2. As long as Rodgers is there in Green Bay, they're 3, and then the Buffalo Bills are in at number 4.
And thinking about forecasting, we know the schedule comes out next week. It's a bigger deal to me than it is to Nick. But I just think about coming out of the offseason with free agency and the draft, obviously. Who do you think is in trouble? Who reached? Who didn't take care and address the needs they needed to or overreacted?
I look at the Raiders, and I know that they reach all the time in the draft, but I don't feel any more confident with the Raiders now than I did when John Gruden first came back. And this guy's getting paid $10 million a year. Mike Mayock has not been good in the draft. He was complaining a few weeks ago how they have no elite defensive players. Well, that's your job, to draft those players. I think the Raiders are in a big-time trouble spot, and that's a team that the last 2 years both started out with 6 wins, 6-3, 6-4, and they finished the year 7-9 and 8-8. So I don't see the Raiders have improved all that much. I also look at the Steelers. Offensive line's a big concern for me. I like what they did getting Najee Harris, but I think, once again, their demise is going to be they're going to make Big Ben throw the football 40, 45-plus times a game. I look at a team like the Ravens. I was disappointed they didn't get a number one wide receiver in free agency, but I did like the Rashad Bateman pick. If Bateman can come in from Minnesota right away and have a big impact at your number one, then maybe the Ravens will end up winning that AFC North. I think the Ravens and the Browns could be such a fun dogfight until the end. And look at Cleveland. It's kind of an underrated storyline, which I'm sure will get talked about more when people have less things to talk about. Odell Beckham Jr. is coming back. If Odell Beckham Jr. could be good for the Browns, well, then what is Cleveland going to be? Because they won 11 games last year without Odell for most of the season.
Zach, we got about 45 seconds here. The as the Packer turns continues between Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, who is more in the wrong in the Aaron Rodgers situation?
It's Gutekunst and it's the Packers, because they didn't give Aaron Rodgers that phone call the night of the draft, and they aggressively traded up to get Jordan Love when it was unnecessary. Heck, Kirk Cousins got a phone call from his GM when they drafted Kellen Mond. The Bengals are already catering to Joe Burrow, so they should have placed that phone call. I started out 55% that he'll be back next year, and as the days go on, I feel worse and worse about that number of him coming back and playing for the Packers. Probably after June 1st, then we'll get a better answer if he's going to be dealt or not.
Follow this man on Twitter right now, at Zach Gelb. You can listen to his show every single night here on Sports Radio FNZ of the Zach Gelb Show. It is Zach Gelb. Great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Nick and Stan. Heading straight, guys.
Take care, Zach.
Yeah, I'm not golfing today. You would not want to see me out here. I would be hitting things. This would not be a good situation for anyone. We're going to get back to the Panthers talk coming up in about 30 minutes, but next, there is the road the Hornets took, and there is the road not taken. Sports Radio FNZ.